Welcome, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Hope everyone's blessed. Good to see you, Brother Rusty, Sister Diane. Tonight, I have a message for you guys. I entitled it, Whatever Happened to Common Sense? I just thought it was appropriate in the times that we live in, because so much of the stuff that we see on TV that makes the news, you just got to ask yourself, what were they thinking? And I'm not talking about the criminals, I'm talking about the government. What were they thinking? It just doesn't make any sense. Well, anyway, it's good to be here. Today is the first day of summer, and it's the summer solstice. So we got 14 hours plus of daylight today. So if you haven't got it done by now, shame on you. You got more time today to do it than any other day. So let me just ask that question. Okay, so the title is Whatever Happened to Common Sense? So where's it at? Is it in the schoolhouses? Not when they teach that your sexual identity can change depending on what you want it to be. It doesn't go by whether you were born male or female. It's what they brainwash you to believe. It's not in the schoolhouse. So where's common sense? Is it in the courthouse? Not when the Supreme Court says you have the right to marry somebody of the same sex. It's not in the courthouses either. So where can we find common sense? Is common sense in big corporations, in the boardrooms of the CEOs, like Shell gas station, or not my cup of tea, but Budweiser? Not when you have bearded men wearing dresses as the poster boy for your product. Common sense ain't there either. And at the end of the day, their profit and loss sheet will eventually tell them that, but they don't have enough common sense to change. When the shareholders sue them, then they'll change. But common sense isn't there either. I know where it's at. It must be in the White House. It must be in the Oval Office, right? No, common sense isn't there either. Not when the President of the United States celebrates Homosexual Pride Month and takes the rainbow homosexual identity flag and puts it on the White House and raises it above the U.S. flag. Downright treason. No common sense there either. So where is common sense? Well, you know, I just want to take a second to point out something about common sense. I want to compare it to a formal education. A formal education is something good to have. A formal education is a key that will unlock the door of employment for you. And it will get you a job that you can make a career and have a good living for your whole life. A formal education is very valuable. However, is the price of a formal education today worth it? I'm not talking about dollars and cents. It depends on the university you go to. It could be $50,000, $100,000, $200,000 for a four-year degree. Is it worth it? Not when you have to surrender your common sense to get the degree. When you have to come to the conclusion of which mainstream government, businesses, media all push as reality, which is pretending that boys are girls, girls are boys, and every godless act is acceptable. That price for a formal education is more than I'm willing to pay. So if you have children or grandchildren, or if you're in college yourself or university, hold on to your common sense. You can get your degree without losing it. But they will try their best, the liberal universities, to brainwash you and make you lose your common sense. Our scripture verse tonight is Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. It says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." Notice that these are opposites, that the opposite of good is evil, the opposite of light is darkness, the opposite of sweet is bitter. It's 180 degrees different from truth, and that's what a lie is. A lie is the opposite of truth, and that is what children are expected to surrender and give up, truth, when they go to a university. They're expected to toe the line, and it's done by brainwashing, and eventually when they come out of universities, and, well, God forbid, but they're now touting the liberal agenda of the lost world. So Isaiah told us that woe to them, meaning that there's consequences to rebel against God. There's a warning here that those who do these things are in trouble. They're in trouble. The judgment has already been done in their lives. It's just it's waiting for that time. Let me explain. You know, I know that, I don't ever try to predict who's going to heaven and who's not. However, some of the people, when we hear the things they do, common sense says they didn't make it to heaven. Yeah. Let me give you an example. I'll just say one name, Hitler. Right. It would defy logic, or I should say common sense, to think that he made it to heaven. A name of much more current times is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. The agenda that she pushed to keep abortion legalized took the lives of millions of children. And she's the hero of the left. And the thing is that the scripture here, where Isaiah says, "Woe to them that calls evil good and good evil," is a scripture that pronounces judgment, and it eventually gets you. There comes a day when you check out of this world, and now you're held accountable for everything that you taught, everything that you've done. It's now you have to give an account for it. And so the consequences are there, even though people don't see it, even though the lost, not the saved, obviously the saved have repented, but the lost don't see it. The Word of God tells us where to pray for the lost. The Word of God tells us to pray for our government officials, pray for our presidents and our governors and mayors and councilmen and representatives and senators. And this is why they are lost, and they're trying to govern our lives based on what they believe is right, based on man's rationality. And we have a world that's turned upside down, that is, as far as good and evil. Now, the church isn't. The church is still right side up, and the church still very good point, Brother Dave said, some churches, yeah. Well, I don't call the apostate church the church. And so when you get to the point where you're ordaining homosexuals to be ministers and you're marrying same-sex couples, you left the clear teaching of the Bible. And you know what? You know what's crazy? is that churches, when they want to decide what they're going to teach these apostate churches, and actually some other churches too, I wouldn't say they're apostates, but they now say, we're going to vote on it. You know, the Word of God is what's true. We go to the Bible. We're not supposed to go to the voting booth to determine what's true. So I don't refer to when I say the church still knows the truth. I'm talking about the church, the one where Christ rules and reigns, the one where he walks in the midst of and he fellowships, the one where two or more are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them. That's the church. Those other churches are dry. You think a desert is dry. You go to a dead church, the Spirit of God isn't there. Spirit of God's in you, but the Spirit of God ain't there, and it ain't moving in them, and they're not walking in wisdom. They're walking in basically whatever they conclude is truth. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember when criminals went to jail and the victims were protected? Do you know, I'm watching the news yesterday, and so, you know, I'm going to tell you the event. I didn't catch, I don't know if it was Louisiana or another state or New Orleans area or another city, but I'm watching the news, and there's a jailer who's basically verbally and physically assaulted by the inmate. You know, if you've ever been assaulted, you can get provoked to defend yourself and harm the attacker. You know, it's a lack of common sense to think that the person you're attacking isn't going to be provoked to defend themselves. Well, the jailer was provoked, and he beat the tar out of the inmate. And, you know, that's the problem. In many cases, is that the parents don't want a parent. So now the government has to parent. However, now the government don't want to parent, do parenting. You know what they decided? They decided to fire the jailer, get the inmate a lawyer, and sue the jailer. The jailer is the victim. And if you say, well, he uses excessive force, let me see how self-control you have when somebody spits in your face, calls you derogatory remarks, and punches you. And you're the authority with the badge. And you're supposed to stand there and take it? Or are you supposed to use an appropriate amount of restraint? Let me tell you what. Discipline needs to be applied. And that's what that jailer did. He beat the tar out of him, and he went limping into his cell like a whipped puppy, and the jailer locked the door and he walked away, and he should have been given a medal. Instead, they fired him. Where is common sense? This is the government that fired him. The government. The government controls the police stations. Where is common sense? If you've seen the news this morning, there was an incident, and again, you know, in the news, you got to be focused on the news, because it's like 15 seconds blipped, and if you're doing something else, but I got the point. I don't remember all the details. It's a local incident. So I think it was on the West Bank. So a guy and his wife, some thugs come by, and they steal the wife's car. And the guy pulls out his gun and shoots. The husband, he shoots. And it goes through the car. They're speeding off, and it goes through the car. And it hits one of the kids, and he's a 14-year-old. So what do you think they did? What does common sense say? Hey, the criminal got, that's right, the criminal got his just due, right? That's what the government said? No. The government said, citizen, you protect yourself, you're arrested. They arrested him, and they brought charges against him. Where is common sense? The government has lost its way. And you want to know something? We have a government elected by the people. The road to salvation is narrow, and few go there on it, but the road to destruction is broad, and many travel down it. The majority elect public officials that pass laws that they want. The majority of people in liberal cities are passing laws, putting in liberal representatives and senators and liberal governors, and they pass in these laws. This is not something that happened by an accident. These people were put in there intentionally by people that want them in office. And you know what? If you want to run in politics and you have a conservative view, now I'm not saying you can't get elected, especially in Louisiana, it's very conservative, but we got a liberal governor, but still a pretty much conservative state. It can happen, but more and more the nation has turned so liberal that's all they produce is God-hating, Bible-rejecting politicians. You know, when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s, you know what a pusher looked like? He was a long-haired hippie, had a bandana around his forehead, tie-dyed t-shirt, bell-bottom blue jeans, and flip-flops or Jesus sandals, as they called them then. That's what a pusher looked like. Today, you want to know what a pusher looks like? Three-piece suit. And he's got a title like governor, president, mayor. That's what your pushers look like. Now, that's not hyperbole. I'm not exaggerating. You know, Minnesota, the governor just signed into law recreational use of marijuana. In Colorado, it's been like 10 years. Washington, too, state of Washington, about 10, I think, Vermont. We're not talking about medical marijuana. That's how it's got its foot in the door. But we're talking about recreational use. You know what stinkweed is? Stinkweed, you heard of stinkweed? Stinkweed is some new type of dope. And you know that word is eye-opening right there, dope. You know? I mean, you use weed and your senses go dull and you become dopey. The term gives it away, dope. So people say, well, I'm in pain. Well, you blunt your senses, you dull your senses, and you're going to be in more pain when you wreck your car. But anyway, stinkweed, it's a type of weed that when they smoke it, it stinks. The best way I can say what it smells like is if you ever been around the pasture and you smell cow manure, the methane, that's what it is. And you smell it everywhere now. I ride around with my windows down, except for when it gets really hot, like it's been lately. But if it's 80 degrees, my windows are down. I don't mind warm weather. And I pull up at the red light, and that's all you smell. I went to meet a friend, and I'm walking through the halls of the apartment, and you can smell this. It smells like methane. It stinks. And I'm thinking, you know, I think it was last year, 21, the governor signed a bill saying that it's okay to have, I think it's 14 grams of weed or cannabis. And then if you have, the big cry was that, it's a nonviolent, offense. So you're not murdering people, you're not raping somebody, you're not doing carjacking. It's a nonviolent offense. Why are you going to put somebody in jail for 10 years? You know, it's a good argument. However, to legalize it for recreational use or to soften the law so much that now people don't even care. You know, we don't, in the state of Louisiana, it's not legal. You smoke weed, you're still breaking the law. But yet, you stop at a red light and people are smoking it, and they don't care. When I was growing up, they hid. They were afraid that, oh, the cop might see me. Now, they don't care. The cop pulls up on the side of them, they'll smoke them, look at the car, blow it out, and just keep smoking it. That's because they just get a fine now. And so, and which is a good thing, because fines do work. And that's why if fines didn't work, everybody would be speeding and running red lights. So we know fines work. They do, but everybody would be doing it, you know, if there was no fine. So fines are good. However, the law has become so relaxed that people aren't afraid to break it and to use weed. And what we have now is stone drivers. And they're all over the road because you can smell this stuff. And anyway, so the laws, where's common sense when it comes to the laws? You know, the drug pushers and in my day were criminals. And now the drug pushers are the legislators that legalize the use of weed or legalize other things like, it's legal for a juvenile or, actually I don't know the exact age, but I think it's a juvenile, to have, go through a sexual surgery without permission from their parents. You know, legalized by the government. You know, and the doctors, no consequence for it from the doctor, and he gets to bill the insurance company. I mean, the world has gone crazy compared to what is true. When you look at what is true and you look at what the world says we can do, the world has gone crazy. And then so the elected officials are now literally the criminals. If it was a crime, for the pusher in the 60s, 70s, 80s to sell drugs, why isn't it a crime now when the governor does it? And you know, and we know that they're the pushers because the pushers did it to make money. And the government does it because they get to tax it and they're making money. It's not healthy. David.
In some states, it's illegal to try to talk a kid out of the transgender surgery.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. So not only can they get the surgery done, but if mom and dad tries to prevent them, mom and dad can be arrested and charges brought against them. Yeah. So Isaiah's words are true. Woe to them that put darkness for light and light for darkness. So, you know, what is common sense? Not only where is common sense, what is common sense? So, basically, I want to talk about three things here. I want to talk about information, understanding, and wisdom. Information is simply facts. Your name, your address, your height, your weight, your sex, whether you're male or female. That's a fact. So that's what information is. Information is fact, and facts are truth. So understanding is having information and then coming to the correct meaning. Because you can have information and still come to the wrong conclusion. You know, I think of that scripture in the book of Acts in chapter 2 on Pentecost Day when the Holy Spirit came down and the Bible says it was like tongues of fire that fell on the disciples and then they started speaking in new tongues and other people heard them talking in their language and they're like, what is this? They're all Galileans. How can they be speaking my language? And somebody said, oh, they're drunk. Well, that's having information and coming to the wrong meaning, the wrong conclusion. So that person lacked understanding. So, But the Bible also said that they were mocking him, so maybe he was doing it intentionally. But anyway, coming to the wrong conclusion is when you don't have understanding. Now, there's nothing that, I was about to say there's nothing wrong with coming to the wrong conclusion. We all have done that, but of course we don't want to. We want to come to the right conclusion, okay? So we have to have information so we can come to the, so we can have understanding, which is coming to the right meaning. Let me give you an example. So, you know, from time to time, the sales tax go up, right? You know, y'all remember when for many years it was 8.75 in Jefferson Parish, and then I guess a couple of years ago, the state legislators met, and that's when you get in trouble, and they raise taxes. You know, the answer to all our problems is raising taxes. Did you know that? That's what the government thinks anyway. And so they raised our taxes to 9.45, and then I don't know what happened. I think somebody complained, and then so they lowered it down to 9.2, and that's our current taxes and has been for about a couple of years. So that's just a fact. They raised our taxes. Understanding is now you pay a little bit more on everything you buy. That's the correct meaning of that fact. But wisdom is something different. Wisdom is how you take understanding and you use it to benefit yourself or others. That's wisdom. So, in that little analogy about taxes, when you raise the tax, that's information. You hear it on the news. Now you realize everything I buy is going to cost a little bit more. That's understanding. And then wisdom says that new car I wanted to buy, let's see, the taxes going, new tax rate goes in effect July 1st. I better buy it before July 1st. I'm going to be paying another $500 for my vehicle. Well, that's wisdom. And you know what? Common sense will lead you down that trail. When you learn facts, when you learn information, you will come to the right conclusion, that is understanding of what that information means and the best way to use that information to help you and others, unless you let the deceiver come in and try to teach you a lie in place of the truth. That is common sense, is that understanding we're all born with. It's common among us. We all have it. We don't have to go to school and get a formal education for common sense. Common sense is God-given. It's the way you were designed. He gave you the ability to reason and think. And that's what's under attack and assaulted in the universities and the far left-wing agendas, is they attack your common sense to try to wipe out the truth and replace it with a lie. Hold on to your common sense. It was given to you by God. You have common sense, you have understanding, and you have wisdom, because it was given to you by God. And if you can't figure something out, you get on your knees and you pray and ask God to show me. He'll show you, because you have the ability. He's not going to have you pray for something that you can't understand. Matter of fact, the Lord told his disciples that when they wanted to know more about him or more about the kingdom, he said, it's beyond your understanding. So there are limits to human understanding, but in our society, the Bible that God has given us, I should say it like that, is something that we can understand. We can understand the Bible. And we can understand when authority disagrees with the Word of God and says something else is true, we can understand that it's a lie. Hold on to your common sense. Remember, information's are facts. Facts are truth. And Jesus said, I'm the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. hold on to that. No matter if you hear that, some examples would be that from universities when they brainwash the students or anybody, adults, you're going to hear their liberal brainwashing agenda, is evolution. One of the big ones is that the world evolved. It wasn't created. And a direct attack on the Bible. The Bible says that the world was created. And then you have people, they're on the fence. I hope it's none of you guys, but they're on the fence because they think that that professor's a pretty smart guy and the pastor's a pretty smart guy. You know what? I bet God used evolution to create the world. Well, you've just been duped. So that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that God created the world. It doesn't teach any evolution in the creation. So it's under attack, common sense, constantly under attack. We see example after example of people just toeing the line and doing what liberalism teaches and not using common sense. So I asked the question, where is common sense found? And being smart guys and gals, y'all answered correctly. In the Word of God. It's in the Bible. That's where we find common sense. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is unchanging. And the Word of God says He created them male and female. That's what the Word of God says. And also, the Word of God says that he brought Adam a wife. From his rib, he created a woman, not another man. And when he created Adam, the Bible says he created the man. He didn't create a woman and then take the rib and create another one. So the Bible says that it's when it comes to marriage, it's men and women only. It's not any other combination but a man and a woman. The Bible tells us that the Lord created them. They didn't evolve. The Bible tells us that murder is wrong. We got a little bit of something to applaud about when the Supreme Court eliminated the right to an abortion nationally. They kicked it back to the states. Each state gets to decide. So thank God for that, you know. Amen. But unfortunately, the liberal states are legalizing abortions, and they're doing everything they can to get people from conservative states. They're doing free, I mean, it's crazy stuff. Big businesses. They're doing, they'll fly you if you work for, I see one of them was a Citicard. If you work for them, the bank, and you live in a state, that abortion is illegal, they'll fly you to a state where abortion is legal so you can have the murder done, because that's what it is, taking the life of a child. The Bible is true, and the Word of God is where we find common sense. And so the bottom line is, what's being attacked through all this, through the brainwashings in the school and all the liberalism, what's being attacked is your faith. That's the bottom line. Your faith in God is being attacked. And it's so important for us to hold on. As valuable as a formal education is, common sense is more valuable. Because you lose your faith in God, well, no faith in God equals no heaven. So that's the bottom line. So common sense is very valuable. And what is faith? You know, it's under attack. Well, what is it that the liberals are attacking? So let me just tell you a definition of faith, and then I want to show you a scripture. Faith is believing without proof. You know how they say seeing is believing, right? I mean, you see something, you say, do you believe I have the Bible? If I have it down here, you can't see it. Do I have it? And then, well, I know you all know I have it because you just seen it. But if I say, if I didn't show you something, you know, a better example would be what's in my pocket, because nobody's seen what's in my pocket, right? And so, let me see what I got in that pocket. Okay. So if I say I have a $100 bill in my pocket, and so how many people would believe me without seeing it? And then so let's say everybody said, oh, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt and we'll believe it. And I said, if I'm right, and you agree, you get the $100. If I'm wrong, and you agree, then I get the $100. If I have nothing in my pocket and you believe I do, then I get the $100. In other words, I add risk. Now you can lose something. Okay? So now do you trust me? Well, that's what Christ is saying. You don't understand the Bible. You don't understand His Word. You don't know what He's doing. He's saying, believe. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. And we want the proof. Show me. Show me. Show me. Show me. And He's saying, trust me. Believe. Without the proof, just believe that it's true. Miracles alone is evidence that He's God. I don't know who can do these things other than God. You know, open the eyes of the blind, the deaf, the lame. You know, who can do these things? Call the dead out of the grave. Cleanse the lepers. So faith is believing without. You don't need the proof. God said it. I believe it. And people struggle with that. Because along comes a deceiver and says things like, evolution is true. Look, we have these old fossils from a million years ago. And they come up with, I'm not the expert, that's Dave's job there, but they'll come up with examples that there's gaps in there. When they try to show you fact one, there's big gaps. They don't fit together, and they just make it fit together. And then the students, the professor, I guess, just talk very persuasively. And anyway, they learn material and stuff that they need to know for the exam so they can pass the test, so they can get their diploma, their degree. And so they get brainwashed. And this is the deceiver. And faith is believing without any proof. And I want to show you a scripture verse that underlines that just brings that out. So let's go to John chapter 20, and I want to look at verses 24 through 30. 24 through 31. So this is after Jesus is crucified, and now He's resurrected. John chapter 20. Here, pages turning. John chapter 20, verse 24 through 30. All right, I'll go ahead and start reading. Okay, so. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. So Jesus came and showed Himself to the disciples, but Thomas wasn't there. The other disciples therefore said unto Thomas, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas, he said unto them, except I see in His hand the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into His side, I will not believe. Verse 26, and after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them, then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. So He comes into the upper room, and it's a locked place, and the Lord being God, goes through the locked doors, are the closed doors. Verse 27, then said he to Thomas, the Lord talking to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, he's believing because he's seen, thou hast believed, because you have seen. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. So, seeing is proof. Trusting Jesus when he tells us in his word that he is the Christ is faith. Faith is believing without proof. I don't need the proof. I believe you. I believe you, I'll follow you, I'll obey you, simply because I trust you. You ever trust somebody that much? You ever? I think we all have, right? You know, it's really a good thing. You know, I'm in sales, and from time to time, you know, I try to give people the facts and say, okay, well, this is the cost of the product. This is what the product is. This is what it'll do for you. And they're like, I trust you. You know, that's a very high compliment that you gain other people's trust. Well, you know what? The Lord wants our trust. You know, we need to compliment him, and we need to say, Lord, I trust you. He's given us his spirit. The spirit lives inside the believer. He gives us his presence, and his presence is joy and peace. And so, you know, and the church does. Just be careful. We're in the battle. And, you know, I keep pointing out that, you know, students in the classroom, for years, you know, it's been well known that the liberal colleges try to brainwash the students into their liberal theology. But actually, it's not just the students in college anymore. It's the whole nation through liberal television and liberal internet. And they're just brainwashing you. I mean, you know, they got a TV station, MeTV. I think just everybody's heard about it by now. It's been around for like 10 years or whatever. And it plays all the old shows, Andy Griffin, Gomer Pyle, stuff like that. And then, And then so I was watching that, and then all of a sudden, there was a commercial for some guy that basically, the bottom line is, he was promoting a homosexual lifestyle. That was the bottom line. And I was like, why is that? You know, it's like, why is this? And then it dawned on me, they're trying to brainwash the older generation. They're trying to get them to accept the homosexual lifestyle. So it's not just the students in the university being brainwashed by liberal professors. It's the whole nation being brainwashed by liberal leaders, from the man in the White House all the way down to the mayor in the liberal city. They're all trying to brainwash the entire nation into rejecting God's word and believing man's wisdom, which is lack of wisdom because they don't have common sense. Let me say one more thing about faith. So, first of all, I said faith is believing without proof. And then secondly, I want to point out, faith needs to be exercised in order to grow. Your faith should grow. Your faith in Christ should not remain a superficial level where you say, okay, I didn't go to church on Sundays, now I'll go to church on Sundays. Your faith needs to change your life. It needs to be a life-changing trust in Christ. Your faith needs to grow by exercising it. You know, muscles grow and get stronger by exercising, right? You know, I got to go. I don't keep up with current events, but unless it's unfortunately something bad, and I seem to know about that. But anyway, I don't know who's Mr. Universe now. But back in the 80s, it was Arnold Schwarzenegger, and that guy was huge. Well, he wasn't born like that. You know, he had to exercise to get those muscles. And he was a pretty big guy in his prime. He's still probably a pretty big guy today, I think. But in his prime, he was really big. And the point is that he got like that by exercising. And so if we exercise our faith, we can grow and be, what would be the analogy, Arnold Schwarzenegger size faith in our hearts, you know? But the point is that it can grow. Your faith can grow. Your faith today may lead you to church on Sunday, but your faith tomorrow as you exercise may lead you to proclaim the gospel in the streets of New Orleans on Monday. Your faith can grow. Your faith can grow to the point where you have courage to tell somebody when they tell you that you don't know what a person's agenda, their sexual identity is, but they have to tell you, you can say, wrong. You've been brainwashed, and you are what's on your birth certificate. Your faith can grow to the point where you share the gospel with your neighbor. Your faith can grow where you can lead people into prayers, strangers in a grocery store. You know, the Great Commission is that we go into the world and we share the gospel, and that people would get saved and the kingdom of God would grow. Unless we have strong faith, you're not going to do it. You'll come to church on Sunday, but on Monday, church is over with until next Sunday or Wednesday or whatever. But anyway, my point is, whatever size your faith is, it can actually get bigger. You exercise it. How do you exercise it? Good question to ask. You read the Bible. The Word of God is in the Bible. It's in your heart and your brain, but I was going to say it's not in your brain. In other words, you don't invent the Word of God. You discover the Word of God when you read it. The Word of God will increase your faith. As you meditate on the Word of God, the Spirit of God will give you understanding. As you meditate on the Word of God, the presence of God will show up, and it will increase your faith. You know, when you get next to the Lord, you get bold. When you're by yourself, you don't have that much courage. But when you get in the presence of God, look out, world. It's like you have no hold on me. So how do we exercise our faith? Through the Word of God. How else can we exercise our faith? Prayer. Calling out to God. It's so important that you talk to Him and quit texting your friends about your problems and talking to your neighbors and everybody else and saying, well, look, it's true that there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel. There's nothing wrong with going to the appropriate person to get advice from. But just talking about your problem isn't going to get you an answer. It might help you vent a little bit your frustrations, but it's not going to get you an answer. But you go to God and you talk about your problems to Him, you'll get an answer. You'll get an answer. The Lord will show you the right decision. You know, the Lord does things like that. The Lord has blessed me. He blessed me so much over the years. I end up with 3 cars. You know, I mean, you know, 1's enough. But I end up with 3 cars, and then so 2 of them are just parked at the house. I was like, I ain't gonna have insurance on those. I'm only driving 1. And then the Lord said, you know what you need to do? You need to give that vehicle to your nephew. And I'm like, give it to him. So what do you think happens? The next day the phone rings. It's my brother. And he said, hey, now he's a contractor. He says, and the nephew I'm talking about is his son. And so he says, hey, I heard you want to put in a handicap bathroom in your house. Huh? I said, yeah. I said, yeah, we need to get one for Becky. He said, well, little Ricky needs a vehicle. I said, really? I said, yeah. So long story short, that's right, Dave. So we swapped. He came in, remodeled the bathroom, put in a tub, sink, tall, everything, beautiful bathroom. And then he got the vehicle. You know, before I even prayed, I mean, three cars, it's in. And then 3 years passed by. Now I got two vehicles, and I'm like, man, I got to get that car to that car part. It's too hot. I want to put my car under there. But it's too hot. Yeah. So I was like, man, you know, I got to sell this vehicle. So then a brother calls me and like, man, look, yeah. He's like, first he comes over with his car and he's like, can you? He knows I know a little bit about cars. Like, can you help me? So we work on his car and we get it run. Anyway, like a month later, it dies. And then so he's like, can you work me a deal? I was like, all right. I was like, and I had just told the Lord. I said, I want to get that car out of here. And it was the next day. He called me like, it's dead. It died. Yeah. You know, the timing shows you the Lord's in it. Pray. God has an answer. You know, because stuff like that's hard. You know, it's like, give away my car. What? You know, I got too many of them. So, you know, the Lord blesses you, and He'll keep blessing you as long as you don't try to hold on to it. If you're willing to give it away, He gives you more. And you give it away, and He gives you more. And that's the way it works. And so, it's like, you want, you know, that's a different message for another day, but you want to have more than what you can handle. Give away what you got. I know it sounds crazy. Give away. I have so much given. Cars, houses, businesses. I have so much given to me. Literally hundreds and thousands of dollars, and I can't explain it other than the Lord's just merciful, and I just give back. I give back, and it just keeps coming, and so. Pray, you got problems, pray to the Lord. So Lord, this is where faith comes. This is how you exercise your faith. You read the Bible, you pray. And then thirdly, you go to church. Yeah, and I know y'all do. Y'all here tonight, right? You go to church. You got to hear the word preached to you. You have to. You cannot say, I believe, and that's good enough. You know, people do that. They want to just stay home. They're like, no, I believe. Like, I'll invite somebody to church. I don't want to go to church. And I say, God's real. Oh, I believe. And He's Jesus. Oh, I know. But why don't you come to church Sunday? Maybe next time. Maybe another time. You got weak faith. If you can't come to church, if you're opposed to coming to church, something is wrong with your faith. If you say, I'm a believer, but I don't want to go to church, something is wrong with your faith. And you go to a Bible teaching church like what we have here. You know, we're blessed. Yeah, we're blessed. You know, you got a pastor here that knows the word and can teach it with clarity and thoroughly. And I mean, my goodness, you know. Students pay for that in universities, you know. So we got a pastor here that just blesses everybody with the Word of God and a clear understanding of it. So exercise your faith by reading the Word. Exercise your faith by praying. Exercise your faith by going to church. Your faith will grow, and then you know what? The Lord might have you pastoring the church. Are you doing ministry work overseas or down the street? But He's going to take what He planted in you and He's going to use that to serve other people and bless other people. Well, I'm going to end there and started off with what happened to common sense. And I conclude that it's in the Word of God. And so that's where we find it. So, it's still available. It's still alive. Well put. Brother Rusty said it's just not very common. Well put. Well put. All right, well, let me close with a prayer, and then we'll end for the evening. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, that you're our God, Lord. You're our God, and you have all the information, all the understanding, and all the wisdom in the world, Lord. And common sense reigns in you, and it reigns in your government, Lord. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord. When we listen to the news, Lord, and we hear all the nonsense, Lord, we can have peace and joy knowing that common sense is still alive and it's in you. Father, just bless the saints here tonight, Lord. Bless them with your presence, Lord. Bless them with good health, Lord. Bless their finances, Lord. Bless their relationships. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We love you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're welcome.